We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? I'm BJ Kissel. This is KCSN Update, our daily Chiefs podcast and video here at KC Sports Network. Today's nugget. Since entering the league in 2017, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes has compiled a 58-15 regular season record. In 5 years, as the team's starting quarterback, he's defeated 28 of the other 31 NFL teams. The three remaining teams that Mahomes has not beaten in his career are the Los Angeles Rams, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Seattle Seahawks. Two of those teams on the schedule for the rest of the season. I remember these played both the Seahawks and the Rams. I remember them losing both those games. The Rams game was the one that was moved from Mexico City to LA because of the Shakira concert down in Mexico City at Studio Azteca. That year they got moved. They lost that game in the thriller on Monday night. He and Jared Goff, they put up like 8,000 yards passing in that game. If you remember that one, and then was injured the year they won the Super Bowl against the Vikings. That was the Matt Moore game where he stepped in and Harrison Butker drilled several field goals to win that one. And the Seattle Seahawks was in Seattle. I remember that one because Sharkandrick West had caught a touchdown pass across the middle. Crazy games, but again, not normalizing greatness. Pretty impressive for a guy who's only 27 years old. Hopefully he can cross another one of those teams off his list on Sunday in the LA Rams. And to help us break that down, it's going to be our Wednesday guest every week here on KC Sports Network and KCSN Update. It's the czar of YouTube X's and O's. And he's basically like the Patrick Mahomes of NFL video content, if you will. We'll get his thoughts. That's Brett Coleman. We'll get his thoughts on Sunday night's performance. Spend some time talking about the Chiefs defense because the offense has had plenty of love here lately. And we'll talk with him about a lot more than that just after this quick word from our friends over at DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is my go-to when betting on the NFL this holiday season. They have the best app to find the plays that you're looking for, and I love the anytime scores. I've talked about that before. You always feel like you got a shot no matter what the game is or what the score is. And right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. And check this out. Right now, everyone can earn up to a 100% boost with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same-game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, player props, point totals, and more. The more legs you add, the bigger the boost, the bigger your shot to win big. This Sunday, the Chiefs have the largest spread of any team in the NFL, 14.5 points. A lot of injuries and problems with the defending Super Bowl champion Rams right now. I still like the Chiefs. They are rolling here heading into week 12. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code KCSN. Place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game, and you get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code KCSN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, now let's welcome the man, the myth, the legend, again, the czar of YouTube X's and O's for NFL content, Brett Coleman, who was at SoFi Stadium to watch Patrick Mahomes' greatness in person. Brett, do you feel any different having gotten to see a legend in the making once again doing legendary things?
It's funny. That was my first live Patrick Mahomes game. And this year I got to see my first Brady game, my first Rodgers game, my first Josh Allen game, my second Justin Herbert game, and my first Mahomes game, among many others. I've been all over the place this year. That was special. That was special. Like you see it on TV all the time. Minute 46, down by 3 or 4. It's like, yeah, Chiefs win. But to like see it live and the frightening inevitability of it all, that was special. And I think Chiefs fans should honestly consider yourselves extraordinarily lucky that you get 8 of those a year, or 9 in some seasons. Like, yeah, that's different. That's just different. And I left the stadium, and my wife is so funny. We were at the game together, and when Herbert marched down and scored, and Keenan got like the 3rd and 18 catch, which was ridiculous. She looked at me. She's like, "What just happened?" And I was like, "Justin Herbert happened." And then they scored and everything like that. And then Mahomes marches down and the Chiefs score. She's like, "What the hell just happened?" I was like, "Patrick Mahomes happened." That's what these games are between these two. That's why I wanted to go so bad, is because you knew it was going to be like that. And I'm very blessed to have been there.
I've joked with you before, recently, of the last couple of weeks. You don't like to make those big statements. You don't like make those big proclamations about, oh, so-and-so is the best, or this or that. Just appreciate everybody. But damn, like, come on. You got to see it in person for the first time. Like, it's just different.
And there was a lot of Chiefs fans there, obviously, because Chiefs are a big fan base. And I'll tell you what, the sound of the road fans when Pat would get within 20 feet of any like little pocket of Chiefs fans, like, I swear to God, it was the loudest thing in the stadium. Just like a small section of Chiefs fans, when Pat would throw a glove, it was like the Beatles were in town. I swear to God, like he is so special, not just as a player, but as a presence. And I think the NFL is very lucky that he's the face of the game right now.
You know what? I've talked about this over the last couple of days, and Mahomes, and talk about Travis Kelce. I singled it out with Travis Kelce because it's just different. You talk about, you know, what they do on the field being one thing. And I know you spend a lot of time doing the X's and O's and appreciating the football nerdery that's going on, and the mental acuity for these guys. It's so much more advanced than I think a lot of fans give them credit for, the way they speak the language. For anybody who's old enough to remember the movie The Program, you know, Alvin Mack, just basically, like, the dude couldn't read, but you asked him to read a defense, like, he knows absolutely everything about everything. These guys are brilliant about a lot of different things, but appreciating outside of the physical abilities, the knowledge to play the game at that level, the way in which they talk about their teammates, the way that Patrick talks about Justin Herbert and praises him in a very genuine manner, is special. And I've singled out Travis Kelce, catches a game winning touchdown. It's probably in real time, maybe 20, 22 minutes after he catches a game winning touchdown, he gets on the podium. First question that's asked is, you know, you and Mahomes, just, it's inevitable, this and that. And within 10 seconds, he's praising Sky Moore. He's praising Justin Watson. He's talking about Marquez Valdes-Scantling in the most genuine way. And I was watching it, and it just stood out to me. I was like, that's different. Like, it's different the way that these guys are wired. Not every team is like that. Not every player is like that. Doesn't make anybody better, worse, whatever, on the field. But off the field, that stuff resonates.
And I think he's correct, too, because he wouldn't even get in position to make that game-winning touchdown without those guys making catches in the last drive to get him down there. And it was fascinating to me because I went through and I watched it, the All-22, the day after. They called man coverage every single play on that drive, every single play, because they're like, we're not going to let Mahomes slice and dice through zone. There's too much time. And that requires everybody to win. You got to go win. And they all won. Now, they had like the third play in a row. Once they caught on, like, oh, we're calling man every play, they started just calling man breaking routes. So it was like comebacks and drags and everything like that. But like, they still won. They still made the catches. They still marched down there, and then you just needed the Chargers to make one mistake, and Nasir Adderley did that by not bracketing Kelce when he was supposed to in his ball game. But it was a total team effort. Pass protection was great. Mahomes made the reads and made the throws. MVS won, like, 84. I can't remember. Who's 84? The other tight end?
That's Watson.
That's Watson. That's right. I believe. He got one on that last drive. Like, everybody contributed.
Yeah, that third and 15 strike to Watson across the middle is probably the biggest play of the game. It seems like those third and 15, the week before it was the third and 17, or the Titans get a scramble from Patrick Mahomes on like third and 17, just a backbreaker that showed Vrabel. But as much as I would love to sit here and talk about the offense, we've done that, I think, for three or four shows since this game. I want to talk with you a little bit about the defense and what they were able to do. We've talked about the end of the first half, the first two drives of the third quarter being really where the defense settled in and gave the offense a chance to figure things out and really kind of get them back into the game, get a lot of confidence on both sides of the ball. But being there in person, having a chance to go back and watch the all 22 afterward, just what's stood out to you about why the Chiefs defense is being so successful and has been really a reason they've won some close games so far this year?
For one, coverage for the most part has been really good. And I think that in terms of how they structure their coverage, they're doing a lot of the same stuff that we normally see. Like, you know, they'll play a lot of cover two, but in spicy ways. You know, they'll kind of get into it in funky rotations. They'll play quarters, you know, if they feel like, you know, they really need to drop down to get an extra guy in the box, they'll play cover three to stop the run. And then, you know, it's all kind of matchup based depending on the kind of offense they're playing against. Like against the Chargers, there are a lot of cover two. Like that was, I think, the most common coverage they called. What was cover two? And for good reason, because it's Justin Herbert. He's scary. He's an alien. You want to do that. And they held up pretty well for the most part. There was a couple big balls, but other than that, they held up well for the most part. But the key in order to make those kind of coverages work is you need to be able to get home. And Chris Jones had an amazing game. He had seven pressures. Frank Clark had seven pressures. Like, I'm pretty sure Karlaftis had like three or four himself. Like it was a very, very productive day for the pass rush. And that I think was key. And also one note, how many years has Chris Jones played at this point? Seven, eight, something like that. Teams are still fundamentally not approaching protecting against him the correct way. And it's so easy to say like, oh, like slide his way and double team everybody. Like you realistically can't do that. And the Chiefs will line up their fronts in ways where like they'll put, they'll put a two eye over the other guard to make it so the center kind of like has to jab that way to help out the guard, because they're not going to do double threes. They're gonna you know, put somebody relatively in that A gap, so the center kind of has to step to it to help the guard, and then they can go help against. They can't just immediately slide. So they kind of, you know, set up their fronts that way to help out Jones get one on ones. But if you're gonna do that, you need to have a guard approaching protecting against Chris Jones the correct way from a technique perspective. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean, don't pass set. Like, you need to jump on him. Like, you need to short set it. You need to get your hands on immediately. Because if you're just kind of doing, like, a normal angle set and he's at a three technique and you're dropping back and you're waiting for him to come get you, he'll kill you every single time. And like, the first play – I'm sure Tucker's watching this when he's editing. The first play, first quarter, like, a little under 5 minutes ago, third and two. Left guard, pass sets, deep. Like, he's just going to wait for Jones to get there and then absorb him as if like he's going to have a bull rush coming. And so if you give Jones time, you give him that extra step to read you and then jab outside, bait the hand to come out, club it, swim over the top, like he's going to murder you. And he's way too quick and he's way too fluid. And again, the center isn't immediately going to slide that way because of how the front's set up. So like, you have to jump on him. The only guards that I ever see successfully protect against Chris Jones are the ones who attack him. And he's still going to get them from time to time, but you can't just wait for death because he will make it happen.
When talking about the Chiefs defense, a lot of it obviously starts with Chris Jones. I don't think, you know, every coordinator in the NFL within their respective home city is either the most hated or the most beloved person in that city. I don't think it's unique to Kansas City. When things are going well, people love Spags. When things are not going well, they blame the defense for everything. I've always appreciated and loved the fact that he is who he is, and he sends guys the cover zero, just the all-out blitzes in the red zone. He doesn't even try to hide it anymore. Like, they're all lining up that amoeba front. They're all just standing there and be like, you know what? We're coming. We're coming after you. What do you appreciate most from a schematic standpoint? You know, I could talk about, you know, the all the blitzes and the pressure. And when things are going a little south, he did it in this game, the second half. It was a lot more blitzes, a lot more pressure, a lot more guys standing over the A-gaps, all those kinds of things that are obvious to anybody who's watching. But what do you appreciate most about Spags and what he brings and how he adjusts and those kinds of things from a defensive standpoint?
Controlled aggression. That I think is, if you're going to, because I wouldn't say he has a signature coverage. I think he has a signature style of calling coverages, which is we're going to take all these pieces and move them all over the place. And I wouldn't say he has like a signature front or anything like that. Like, obviously he does love a lot of the four down stuff, but he'll do it in a whole bunch of different ways with a whole bunch of different personnel. But I would say if he does have a signature, it's controlled aggression. He knows when to sit back and play coverage and let Chris Jones and Frank Clark do their thing. And he knows when he needs to come and get after you. You know, you bring up the zero in the red zone. Like, that's, I think, one of his best gotta have it go-to calls in the red zone. Because if you think about it, you know, philosophically speaking, in the red zone, they're going to get three. So what do you need to do? Keep them off the goal line. So the best way to keep them off the goal line is to keep them from throwing past the goal line. And so if you call zero and you got five guys and you park them on the goal line and they say, okay, everything underneath this, you rally and tackle because we're going to get plus one off the edge no matter what. The ball's going to come out quick. They're not going to have time to throw into the end zone. They're going to throw short. They're going to throw hot, or they're going to have some sort of answer or anything like that. And then it just becomes about rallying and tackling. And if you think your guys are good enough to rally and tackle in space, that's an absolutely amazing red zone call, because it's literally just about fundamentals at that point. It's not about scheming or communication or anything. It's just rally and tackle. And so I think that's why he loves that call so much in the red zone, is because he trusts his guys to make those hits when he needs to. And they do it a lot.
One of the quotes that a lot of, in talking on the defense thing with Spags here, that made the rounds during training camp, and I don't know if it was overblown or, you know, taken out of context in some way, but Spags basically saying he doesn't like playing rookies. He likes veteran players, which is interesting now sitting here in week 11, where you've got four rookies in the dime package that are playing a lot. And depending upon, you know, Juan Thornhill's injury, you know, Brian Cook may see more time out on the field at safety for the Chiefs. But, you know, how impressed are you from what you've seen and what you've studied with the Chiefs defense with those young guys? Early in the year, it was a lot of Jalen Watson. I mean, the last time they played, you know, the Chargers, he made national headlines with his 99-yard return. But Josh Williams getting out there, Trent McDuffie getting out there, Brian Cook getting some time out there. And it's a very young defense that has come together really quickly. For, I wouldn't say it's the most difficult defense in the NFL to learn. I wouldn't know that, but for the way people talk about it, not the easiest one to pick up. Reason that Spag says he likes veterans, I'm guessing, is because young guys make mistakes. Haven't seen a ton of that. You've seen mistakes. There's been a lot fewer rookie type mistakes with blown coverages and just things that they hadn't seen before at this level. A lot fewer of those than I had expected coming into the season, which I'll give credit to Dave Merritt, Steve Spagnuolo, and the rest of the defensive coaching staff. But for you, having studied Spags and knowing what he likes to do, how impressed are you with the young guys being able to pick it up as quickly as they have?
It's very impressive, because again, this is not an easy defense. Now, has Spags done anything to pare it down and maybe calling a slightly slimmer variety of things compared to, you know, a couple of years ago when he had all these guys that had been in the system for a couple of years at that point, everybody knew what they were doing? Yeah, maybe he's pared it down a little bit, but it hasn't really been noticeable to me. And you got a lot of young kids that are shouldering a lot of responsibility in terms of communication pre-snap and reading things post-snap, because in the NFL, like, I'm sorry, with all these athletes that run 4.4 and you're up tempo and you hear a one word call from your safety, so then you automatically have to know, okay, against 3x1, I'm doing this, against 2x2, I'm doing this. You know, and being able to process in real time, like, that's not easy, especially if it's a language that you're not familiar with, because you're like, maybe it's a coverage you've done before in college, but it's called something different. And so you kind of have to go through your Rolodex in your brain mid play while understanding all your responsibilities and all the different checks against whatever formation you're seeing. And it's up tempo. And oh my God, Mike Williams is right on top of me. What am I supposed to do? It's hard. It's really hard. And so I think just the fact that, like, they show up and they don't get egg on their face every week is a win in itself. But the fact that they're playing well on top of that, like, credit to Spags and also credit to the guys for studying enough to be in this position, because they're killing it. They really are. Yeah.
So you spread the love around. You give Brett Veach and his staff credit for bringing players in that can pick these types of things up and get the kind of guys that come in and hit the ground running, whether they're drafted again in the first round or the sixth round, like Jalen Watson getting a lot of playing time, along with I think Trent McDuffie calls them the Fab Five, the five defensive backs that were all drafted this past year, which is great. He said it during a presser, and I had not heard that before as far as how those guys are described. So pretty special, and it's been so much about the young guys on the defense that lately, we'll talk a little offense here before we're going to preview the LA Rams. I'm going to get your thoughts on what's going on with the Rams this year. Obviously, pretty banged up at the current moment, but what's going on with them so far this year. But on the offensive side of the ball, Isaiah Pacheco, what he's done as a seventh-round pick, and then Sky Moore, kind of breaking out a little bit, whether it was by necessity or whether he's developed. That's only for the coaches to know. But the thing is, he's got an opportunity to get in there and play, and it was under 2 minutes. Sky Moore was on the field. That was the biggest thing for me, is that they didn't go to packages that they felt comfortable with based on, you know, not feeling comfortable that he should be out on the field and not trusting him to be in a big time situation. And not only that, Nate Taylor was talking about this this week, is that he caught a huge pass and where he was like the third read, where it's like Mahomes looks one way, then looks the other way, and then immediately fires over to the opposite side. And that's trusting Sky Moore is going to be exactly where he's supposed to be to make that play. And he was. And those are the little things that you can follow during the game to be impressed. But what did you, from being there and obviously just studying Pacheco and Sky Moore specifically, how impressed are you by those young guys stepping up for the Chiefs offense?
You know, again, like you mentioned, the fact that Sky was even on the field in that situation was a good sign. And I think it means that the coaching staff is starting to believe a little bit more in him. I would hope that with Tony's injury, that doesn't mean he's automatically going to go back to being a return man. I hope that's over. I don't think that he's built for that. Surely they can find somebody else to do it.
To Moore or Pacheco, because both of them had their fair share of mistakes.
Let's get literally anybody. Like, put Justin Reed back there, whoever. Like, I don't care.
Put MVS.
MVS.
Put somebody back there. Just fair catch it. They used to do that years ago, and I think it was I can't remember who it was, but they were struggling at punt return, and I think they just put Jeremy Maclin back there. It's like, just fair catch it. Just go back there. Fair catch the ball. Don't even try to return it. Just catch the freaking football.
God, Jeremy Maclin throwback.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, I remember the Dwayne Brough and Jeremy Maclin era. Good Lord.
I remember the Chiefs going an entire season without a wide receiver catching a touchdown.
That wasn't that long ago.
Then they signed Maclin the end of the next offseason. And like, it was like week 15. It's a small story here. I think it was Donnie Avery, where like that was a stat. Everybody was talking about it. And it was like it was towards the end of the season. He had like a breakaway on the outside and he stepped out of bounds. Like, there's nobody around him. Like, he's going to score. And he just accidentally stepped out of bounds. It's like, are they trying to keep this record up? Are they trying to be probably the first team in NFL history to not have a receiver catch a touchdown?
My favorite so one long from ago. That year. I think it was Dwayne Bowe, and he caught it and he fumbled like 6 inches in front of the goal line, and then Travis Kelce picked it up and scored. If I recall correctly, I think
sounds about right for that, just for that season. Yeah.
But anyway, as for Sky and Pacheco, like, again, very encouraging that Sky was out there, obviously. Hopefully he keeps carving out a larger and larger role. As for Pacheco, yeah, they got something here. They really do. This is 2 or 3 weeks in a row where it's, we think it's working. We know it's working. And now it's, he needs to get more than 15 touches. Because he led, at least going into Monday night, he led all running backs in rushing yards that week. And I think you look at his combination of physicality and tackle breaking ability and just raw burst. And I know the Chargers run defense isn't that great. Like, they hit a couple counters with Pacheco where, like, Kenneth Murray, I don't know what the hell he was doing. Like, the edge went inside the wrong shoulder and got a 2-for-1 on the pullers. And Kenneth Murray was like, well, that's my signal to run into the pile. And it's like, dude, your job is to go outside. The running back runs 4-3. And he's like, no, I'm in here. And so, they gave Pacheco a couple pretty easy runs there. But overall, he was still really, really impressive. I think he's played like the best running back on the team pretty much the entire year. And he deserves to be the starter at this point, which he already is. And I would like to see him, Like, let's see if we can get him more than 15 carries. Let's see if we can get him, or even just like 20 touches total. Like, if we're going to do the 15 carry thing, like, let's also throw like five receptions in there. Cause I was on the sideline at the Shrine Bowl where he took a rail like 80 yards in practice. And when he hit that second gear, there was nobody was going to catch him. So I would like to see them kind of get him a little bit more involved in the pass game as well, get him above 20 touches and see what he can do. Cause he's pretty damn exciting.
I was just looking it up because I asked Kendall Gammon, we did the pregame show with 101 the Fox, over under of 21.5 carries by Chiefs running backs in this game. I can't remember if it was you or Trevor that I asked the same question to, and I just looked it up because I hadn't yet. 23 carries by Chiefs running backs in the game against the Chargers on Sunday night. So we were right there. That was more than normal, and it wasn't like they had a bunch of, you know, rushes at the end that skewed those numbers. So pretty impressive. And we're going to take a quick break, but as soon as we come back, we have some breaking news from the Rams. We'll get to that right after this.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to KCSN Update with the czar of YouTube X's and O's NFL content, Brett Coleman. Brett, I didn't even ask you. Do you like that nickname? I'm going to try to give you a different one every time I talk
to you. The czar.
The czar of X's and O's YouTube NFL content.
That's a new one every week. Yeah. No, I appreciate it. I sit in a spare bedroom and I talk about football for a living. It's not a horrible life.
It's not bad. And you're very, very good at it. Not everybody can do what you do. God, what movie is
you'd
that?
Be surprised.
Jack Black and Tropic Thunder. You can't do what I do.
You'd be surprised. I think a lot of people are actually a lot better at it than I am. But
well, you were first then. You were one of the first.
Better be lucky than good.
No, man, you're good at it. Let's get to some breaking news here. You're going to tell me about this quarterback because I've never heard of this guy. Rams very banged up at quarterback. We're going to preview them a little bit as the Chiefs take them on Sunday afternoon at 3:25 at Arrowhead. But the Rams signed quarterback Case Cookus to the practice squad. Matthew Stafford's status is in doubt. John Wolford, the backup, was inactive last week with a neck injury, and that's per NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Not asking for a full-on breakdown, Brett, but just very simply, have you ever heard of Case Cookus?
Yeah, he was was in Minnesota, a couple years ago. And then he was with what was the other league that he was in recently? And then I think he got hurt. And so he must be healthy if they're signing him.
There was a follow-up tweet to this. So I've got you're on the right track. He did have a cup of coffee with the Giants, Broncos, Vikings, and the Raiders. And he started 7 games for a team in the league that you're trying to remember.
It's not the XFL.
Nope.
Is it? No.
Nope.
The one that was last year there's been so many developmental leagues over the last 5 years.
I'll give you a hint. This will be fun. The city in which the team plays in this league is also the same city that the NFC's top team resides.
Philly?
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, I'm so
it's the Philadelphia Stars.
Hours on NFL. I can't.
It's the USFL.
USFL,
the Philadelphia Stars. And this is also per Andrew Siciliano that Case Cookus went to Thousand Oaks High School, which is just walking distance apparently from the Rams facility.
Yeah, so that's right there.
The more you know. Maybe they're trying to save on some travel arrangements for a guy they really hope doesn't play in this game. But let's talk a little bit about the Rams. Obviously, Matthew Stafford, his status is in doubt per that same tweet, and he's been banged up. Cooper Kupp, obviously banged up, not playing in this game. Just what's been going on with the Rams outside of injuries? What can you tell us that will help us be a little bit more educated watching this game on Sunday?
Offensive line, not great. Secondary plays coverages in ways that I have absolutely I don't understand why they do some of the things they do. Like they'll line up like 10 yards off the line of scrimmage and they'll play fire zone out of it. And it's like, okay, that's cool. Like we're bringing five, but everybody's lined up two counties over. So they're just going to throw underneath and get five free yards out of it every single play. And it's like, okay, you're stopping them from going over the top. I get that, but you're not really contesting any passes. And so I struggle with trying to figure out exactly what their plan is. Cause even Jalen Ramsey, like when they're like clearly in quarters against 3-on-1, Jalen Ramsey's isolated on the backside. Like he was not even impressed. And it's like, Jalen Ramsey's a great press corner. Why are we not letting him get up on the line of scrimmage and beat people up? And it's almost like their entire philosophy is we're just going to put an umbrella over the top and make you do 12, 13 play drives. And then offenses are very easily doing 12 and 13 play drives. So it's a very odd defense. It's a very odd team this year. Like the talent level, like the top end talent when everybody's healthy, like Stafford and Kupp and, you know, Van Jefferson, Aaron Donald, obviously, and Jalen, like they have a lot of dudes, but I think the depth has really been sliced and diced over the last couple off seasons, and they made some gambles to go after a Super Bowl when the iron was hot and it worked and they got their ring, but that bill's come due this year. They do not have the depth to survive their injuries. They do not have enough talent to play defense the way that they used to be able to play defense before they had to let people go. It's just been kind of a mess, and they're not a good team this year. And I'm sure a lot of Rams fans are like, we don't care, we got a ring. Very valid. Totally understand that. You cashed in when you could and you got yourself a Lombardi. But they were not set up as a team for dynastic success. They really sold out for 2021 and that was it.
So looking at it from the Chiefs perspective, when you're looking at what you saw at SoFi when the Chiefs played the other LA team with the Chargers, what do you expect, based on what you've seen, the kind of game plans for the Chiefs offense to attack the way that the Rams have been playing defense so far this year? And knowing that, you know, now that we're a little bit in the season, it might be changing a little bit, but Chiefs seeing a lot more man coverage, seeing a lot of different things than they necessarily had seen when they played these teams in the past. Obviously different personnel, Tyreek, talk about that again. But what would you expect, and what kinds of things would you expect the Chiefs to try to do to combat the way that the Rams like to play defense?
10 plus catches for Travis Kelce. A lot of choice routes, stick routes, everything like that. Cause they're going to give him wide open space. And at that point, it's just about, you know, Travis and Pat being on the same page, which they usually are. I would imagine that if they do eventually get frustrated by that with all the yards after catch, you know, maybe we might see them come down and play a little bit tighter in man from time to time. And at that point, you know, you're getting guys on the run with shallow cross. It'll be honestly very similar to what we saw against the Chargers, where, you know, once you kind of force them into man, then we're going to hit the shallow crosses, we're going to hit the deep comebacks, all the stuff we saw in the last drive. And so I think they're just going to choice route them to death with Kelce and run the ball with Pacheco over and over and over again, force them into playing like one robber, one rat, all that kind of stuff. And then from there, it's just Pat Mahomes making crazy throws. Actually, not even crazy throws, just Pat Mahomes making throws on time and on target to comeback routes that are always going to be wide open anyway, because the Rams DBs are going to be playing so far over the top that you can just snap it off and come back to the ball. So I would imagine 70%+ completion percentage for Pat, 300 plus yards passing, 10 catches, 110 yards for Travis, two touchdowns for Pacheco. And you know what? Let's say we get one big bomb to MVS when they finally get sick of it, and then they'll go back to playing soft after that.
I can't wait to cut this segment when that just nails. Trevor nailed the score last week. Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus guessed the 30-27 win for the Chiefs. I have some more breaking news, and it's timely here from Ian Rapport. We'll switch and talk about the Chiefs defense going up against this Rams offense. Now we might have some sort of a clue on what might the Rams offense could look like. Per Ian Rapport of NFL Network, the Rams are expected to give young quarterback Bryce Perkins first team reps this week, paving the way for a potential start given injuries to starters Matthew Stafford and John Wolford. This would be the first start from the former undrafted free agent from Virginia. I'm dropping this on you. Can you give us a full detailed scouting report on Bryce Perkins right now, Brett? Do you know anything about Bryce Perkins?
Physically talented, very physically talented. They love him. They've had him in the building for 2 or 3 years at this point. You know, he's got a good arm, mobile, from everything I've heard, really good kid. They've kind of had him on the back burner, just slow simmering for a while now, because they've always envisioned him, you know, potentially being, you know, being an option that if Mac got hurt, because he's an older quarterback, they could throw in there. So this doesn't necessarily surprise me that much. As for what he brings to them on the field, maybe this will help out the run game a little bit if they want to get into some of the stuff that they couldn't do with other quarterbacks that are less mobile. You know, maybe want to throw in the zone read stuff, maybe a couple design quarterback runs. Not that he's like as dangerous of a runner of you know, Lamar or Hurts or anything. Like, I don't think he's
Could it be similar to what we saw with the Titans and Malik Willis?
Yeah, just
because it was the same kind of, it was a young quarterback, hadn't played a whole lot, just get him out running. I mean, could that be a blueprint for the types of easy, I mean, there wasn't a lot of stress put on Malik Willis in that game for the most part until the second half when the Chiefs brought Willie Gay down, they put him on the edge. They did some different things, which I'm sure the Chiefs are talking about these kinds of things because you're going up an unscouted quarterback. You have no idea what they're going to do, but what you do know is that he hadn't made a start. They're going to try to make things easy on him. And if he is that mobile, maybe they follow that same kind of blueprint.
Yeah, I would say so. I will say Perkins is much further along as a passer than Malik is. You know, obviously, he's had a little bit more time under McVay to learn and grow and develop and all that kind of stuff. So he will present a little bit more of a multidimensional threat than Malik did in his first start against KC. And he is something that I think Chiefs fans, I won't say should be worried about, but should be cognizant of, that he, I don't know if he's going to be as much of a pushover as maybe a lot of people might think, because they love him, absolutely love him for a reason. He's very talented. And I think that, you know, if he develops or is as developed as they seem to believe he is, you take that kind of physical talent, sprinkle a little bit of, you know, Miracle-Gro on it, it could be a problem. So I would not take this game lightly. Again, the Rams are not a good team, but I mean, shit, the KC lost to the Colts. I'll believe anything at this point.
You had to drop that in there. You had to put that out there in the world.
Just got a little bit of a reality. Got to keep in check.
we've got a couple of pieces of information. Joe Tooney dealing with an ankle injury. Kadarius Toney dealing with a hamstring. They will not practice for the Chiefs today. This is per Chief Senior Reporter Matt McMullen. And then Lucas Niang has been activated to the 53-man roster, and that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, dealing with that high ankle sprain, will not practice, will be placed on IR for the Chiefs.
So Clyde's not coming back till last week of the year, basically, probably-ish?
At least four games. So... yeah, 12, 13, 14, 15. He'll have 3 weeks at the end of the season if they want to get him going, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, it's going to give everybody wanted to see Ronald Jones get a shot. It seems like it's going to be his opportunity unless they sign Derek Gore, which has been put out there. I don't know if that hasn't been reported yet, but he put the eyeball emojis out there.
What about Daryl Henderson?
or Daryl Henderson. He doesn't know the off, like doesn't know the pass protections, those kinds of things. That's why I always go to like guys with familiar faces. I was going to text my guy Sharkhandrick and be like, have you been in shape? Are you running? How are you feeling? You know the offense, you know the blitz pickups, you know what to do. But yeah, Daryl Henderson, like there've been a lot more, maybe just me going off here a little bit, but there have been more like starters slash players that have contributed to teams that are getting cut mid-season than I can remember. Guys like Daryl Henderson, Jonathan Abram getting released, and I love to play against him. That was a net negative when the Raiders let him go. I loved when he was in with the Raiders, but it just seems like there's been a lot more players. I can't think of the other guys off the top of my head, but it seems a little different this year. Yeah, he's another one. You know? The Chiefs put a claim in on him. So, and then Andy Reid, when he was asked about during his presser, said he didn't know anything about it.
It's just Veach doing Veach stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The GM is not talking to the coach about a player that he is going to sign onto his roster. I don't know if I 100% believe that one, but yeah, we'll see what happens with Ronald Jones. I know there's a lot of people around Kansas City and that cover the team, and just fans and people on social media have wanted to see him get a shot. And he may get a shot. He'll spell Isaiah Pacheco, but Jerick McKinnon is the third down guy and Pacheco is the starter going forward. So, you know, you're going to get a motivated Ronald Jones, though, if he does get out there and get an opportunity, because he's been itching based on the things that he's put out on social media. He's been itching to get his opportunity.
And if he doesn't work out, Melvin Gordon's a free agent. And we could just keep the AFC West train going for Melvin Gordon. He'll play for everybody at some point.
Melvin Gordon, he's fumbled the ball five times. Like, going to get an opportunity with Andy Reid. You fumble the football consistently.
Although, every time
Pacheco, Pacheco fumbled it, what, 2 weeks ago, and then Jerick McKinnon fumbled it. I'll say that's the one thing. One player that's more happy than anybody else that was in SoFi Stadium after Mahomes went down and won was Jerick McKinnon, because nobody's talking about that fumble. That would have been a much bigger storyline had they not pulled out that victory. Yeah.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, let's get your prediction, Brett, as the Chiefs and the Rams square off. Thursday. I think it's because I'm thinking about Thanksgiving, and I'm so excited. Thanksgiving, by far my favorite holiday. Not even close. We'll get to that in a sec. But what's your prediction for Sunday afternoon between the Chiefs and the Rams?
14.5 is rich. pretty rich. I would say Chiefs by 10. And that seems fair. It's a two-possession win. Like 14.5, like we're expecting them to win by more than two touchdowns. I'm not saying it's not possible because the Rams aren't very good. But I don't know. There's something about like wild card, young, plucky, talented quarterbacks that you've never really seen before and you don't really know how to prepare for them and their tendencies and stuff like that. I don't know. Something about that just screams tougher game than it should be on paper. He says facetiously because I'm still predicting a 10-point win. So let's say Chiefs by 10. I'll go Chiefs 27, Rams 17.
Okay, that puts it right at 44, which I believe is the over-under. So you're right there with what they're predicting. And a couple more injury updates. Juan Thornhill looks like he's going to be limited in practice, but great to see him get any work. I'm always triggered whenever a Chiefs player is injured and they put calf as the injury and then immediately rule them out, because that is the same thing that they do with an Achilles injury. That is how they announce that during games. It's like calf, and then immediately like out. It's like, oh god, like do not do that. And then come to find out
though.
Yes, no, they're not going to put Achilles out. Like, they're not going to do that during the game. They got to make some calls to agents first and not give them too much leverage. But finding out from Nate Taylor, who we talked to on Tuesday, said that the Chiefs had decided that if there were any players dealing with any kind of soft tissue issues playing on the surface at SoFi, they weren't going to push them through it. And so Kadarius Toney, hamstring tweaks up a little bit, done. Juan Thornhill calf a little bit, done. A couple other pieces of information regarding Chiefs injuries: that Juju Smith-Schuster will practice for the Chiefs today, getting through his concussion protocol. So great to see. So Juan Thornhill, Juju getting out there in some capacity, and then Lucas Niang getting back into the mix. Maybe he, you know, works his way into a swing tackle position there as a young player they were high on, and then has had kind of a rocky start to his career, opting out the first year because of COVID, and then had the knee injury that kept him out for about a year as well. So interested to see what they can eventually get from him. But Brett, man, before we let you go, give everybody an opportunity, since a lot of people will be listening to this either on Wednesday when we're recording or on Thursday during Thanksgiving. Man, what are you thankful for in regards to the NFL and the football season this season across the entire NFL? It doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes. We get it. Everybody's thankful for Patrick Mahomes. But what are you thankful for this NFL season?
I'm thankful for the AFC. Cause I think that, you know, for a long time, you know, people that followed the AFC for a long time, like myself, you know, grew up a Texans fan. You've been Chiefs fans for as long as ever. And you know, it was Brady and Manning and Roethlisberger and Rivers and all these AFC quarterbacks, and they'd go at it every single year, and we know who we're going to get in the end. And after a while, it's like, okay, all these guys are getting a little old. Hopefully we can get a new generation in here pretty quick. And I think the AFC is not disappointed, because we got Mahomes and we got Allen, we got Lamar, we got Burrow, we got Herbert. You know, hopefully Trevor Lawrence can turn into what we hope he can be. You know, dare I say Kenny Pickett's looked pretty darn good. I think that the new generation of young kids in the AFC, even if I don't know if we can call Pat young anymore, but still, he's under 30. Let's call him young. I'm thankful for that, because I see the next 10 years of this conference every single Thanksgiving, every single Christmas, every single New Year's, every single January, every single February. We have a lot of great, historically significant football coming up, and I could not be more excited for this era. I think the NFL is in a great spot. I think the AFC is in a great spot. And, you know, if things keep going the way they're going, I think you guys are going to have some really fun conference championships in Arrowhead over the next decade.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You know what I'm thankful for? This stat that I saw on social media. Now I had to get updated. I saw it last week. The Denver Broncos, they'd be 7-3 if they scored at least 18 points in all their games.
That
is amazing when you trade for a quarterback and you give up like 7 draft picks, 3 in the top 2 rounds, I think, and give up like $200 million. And if you would just score 18 points a game, you'd be second. You'd be in the playoffs. You'd be staring down a chance at the playoffs and be 7-3 right now. And that's only because a couple of games gave up 32. They would have lost to the Raiders twice. They gave up 32 and 22 in those two games. And then they lost to the Chargers 19-16. The rest of the games they would have won. Because their defense pretty good, and then they traded Bradley Chubb before the Chiefs ever played him,
and they still got 2 games against KC to go, right?
Yep. Oh, December 11th in worse prime time, and then New Year's Day they play a nooner, which everybody's going to be really excited to get up and watch that one. I'd love
they got a Christmas Day game against the Rams. Can you imagine anything more miserable? That game is going to be horrific.
You know what else is thankful for Patrick Mahomes is the handful of primetime games he's played in. He's basically saved primetime so far this season. The brutal games that they've had across the league, man. But Brett, hope you and yours have a fantastic Thanksgiving. We appreciate everybody that's been listening, spending part of your day with us again, whether it's Wednesday or Thursday, maybe later in the week on Friday when you're playing catch up. Enjoy the time with your family or whoever, your loved ones, whoever you're spending time with this Thanksgiving. We appreciate your support of what we got going on here at KC Sports Network, and we'll have more content throughout the week getting ready for Chiefs Rams, and not necessarily a Chiefs Rams preview, but I had a really fun, good conversation. It was about 35 minutes with former Chiefs fullback Anthony Sherman. He's also a championship flag football head coach is actually my son's coach. We talk a little bit about that on the bonus episode of Outside the Trenches this week. So if you're still listening and you're looking for something else to listen to, pretty fun conversation with Anthony Sherman. Shared a pretty cool story about when he knew that it was a pretty special dynamic between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, something I hadn't heard before. So pretty special there. But again, everybody, hope you all have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see y'all later.